The Church of England has a lectionary of set readings, and it's especially keen and strict that this first one should be included today. It actually comes from the preaching of the Apostle Peter, sometime after the first Easter day and Pentecost, and it gives us an excellent summary of the apostolic witness to Jesus and his resurrection. Peter begins by saying that the good news of the risen Jesus is open to everyone. God doesn't discriminate. God accepts anyone who will put their trust in Jesus and respond with faith to the saving message of Easter. Whatever our background or past, whatever we've done, we can know peace through the good news of Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Peter tells us that the resurrection is proof that Jesus will be the judge of the living and the dead. But the message of the whole Bible is that anyone who believes in Jesus can receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Let's pray that even today, many would meet the risen Lord Jesus afresh as their Saviour and friend and Lord. Let's pray that we would be ready to meet Jesus as our judge. And maybe you're not a Christian believer or you're not sure about things. Why not pray, Lord, if this is true, show me the risen Jesus today. I want to put my trust in him. Help me to believe. I know I need your forgiveness. Risen Jesus, meet me. That is a prayer that God would love to hear and to answer. So let's read his word. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Acts 10, verse 34. Then the apostle Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts people from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, telling them the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything that Jesus did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed as the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And then in our second reading, the Apostle Paul is writing to Christian believers. He says that if we trust in Jesus, we are joined to our Lord by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus' death was our death. Jesus' resurrection was our resurrection. We were crucified and raised up with Jesus, if we're believers. We have died to sin with Christ, and we are alive to God in the resurrection. Spiritually speaking, even now, if we're Christians, we are seated in heaven at the right hand of God the Father in Jesus Christ. We're confined to our homes, but spiritually, we're in heaven. And Paul wants to draw out the implications of that for us. He tells us how to live in the light of Easter and the glorious future which Jesus has won for us. Easter has changed everything. It's the difference between life and death, between this world alone and heaven. At the moment, this is somewhat hidden, but one day it will be fully and gloriously revealed to everyone. So this brief reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians 3, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says to the Christians there, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And then finally, our gospel reading. Jesus had, of course, been crucified and buried on Good Friday. On the Saturday, his body lay in the tomb. And that day has now passed. Matthew tells us about the events of the first Easter Sunday morning and the eyewitness reaction to the empty tomb. This is Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee. There you will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a story, like many preacher's stories, it's probably apocryphal, but there's a story of a vicar who was preaching one Sunday morning. After the readings, he stood up and said, "It's true. It's all true." And then he sat down again. That was his whole sermon. I know some of you like short sermons, and that wouldn't be a bad one, would it? Easter Sunday morning, the resurrection of Jesus. It's true. It's all true. Christians are not claiming that the resurrection Easter is a good, helpful story for the kids. They claim that it is literally, historically, actually true. That it is a fact, a true truth. Jesus' body got up and walked out of the grave. He was no ghost or spirit. You could eat with him and clasp his feet. He didn't merely live on in the thoughts and minds of his followers. This is no myth or legend or parable or some kind of spiritual truth. This is literal, public, historical, true truth. That is the claim. I don't know whether you've ever seriously thought about the evidence for the resurrection for yourself as an adult. If you did, I think you would find it overwhelming. Many of the best legal and historical brains in history have been completely convinced by it. It really is worth a few hours of your lockdown time. The tomb was empty. Even Jesus' enemies admitted that. No one has ever been able to produce the body of Jesus. That would have settled it pretty quickly, wouldn't it? You say he's the Lord of Life. Well, here he is. You recognize him. He's a corpse. They couldn't do that. And Jesus appeared to his disciples, to many of them, men and women, individuals and groups. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about these resurrection appearances in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This was written probably less than 25 years after the death of Jesus, which by ancient document standards is incredibly close. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he was raised again according to the scriptures. And then he begins to give us some of the details of the resurrection appearances, this strand of the evidence. Jesus appeared to Cephas, that's to Jesus' disciple, the Apostle Peter, and then to the 12, to all of the disciples. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Now, what's he saying there? The implication is, most of them are still alive. You can go and ask them. Check it out. Then Jesus appeared to James and to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me, to the Apostle Paul, as to one abnormally born. The empty tomb, the resurrection appearances, and think of the evidence of the transformation of the disciples. When Jesus was arrested, they denied him and fled in panic. They were completely disillusioned and despondent. It had all come to nothing. Their hopes were dashed. They looked and felt pretty stupid now. They had thought that Jesus was the Messiah, the promised rescuer king, the one they'd been waiting for centuries, to whom the Old Testament scriptures pointed, the one who would put things right. And yet, the hoped-for saviour was dead and buried, completely defeated. It had obviously been a delusion, a terrible, terrible mistake. They'd wasted 3 years of their lives. If they could, they'd have to somehow creep back to their families, try to rebuild their livelihoods. But in the meantime, they too were terrified of arrest and death. Jesus had been discredited and executed, his enemies had very obviously won, and no doubt they were next on the authorities' hit list. If they could get Jesus, then they could probably get them too. So they hid. They sheltered in place, as the Americans would say. They went into social isolation, practiced keeping their distance, and denying everything. But then Easter Sunday, and they meet Jesus. That changes everything. Soon they're confidently proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord. His apparent defeat was victory, glory. He has been vindicated and raised. By his death, death was defeated. The price of sin was paid. Love and life had won. A hole was punched in the grave, so that it is not a dead end, but the way to glory and immortality. The apostles were new people, utterly transformed. They bore witness to their risen Lord with a supernatural boldness and a compelling power. Thousands were converted. The gospel spread like wildfire. Before long, the Roman Empire would bow the knee to Jesus. And the risen Lord Jesus has changed the world and captured culture for the next 2,000 years. Most of the apostles died for proclaiming Jesus. People will sometimes die for something that is wrong, but no one in their right mind will willingly die for something that they know to be wrong. Although they hadn't been expecting it, the disciples were completely convinced that Jesus is alive. The risen power of Jesus was at work in them. They were sure that the resurrection was a fact of history worth living and dying for. It's true. It's all true. If you want to spend just a little more time thinking about the evidence of the resurrection, I would suggest to you the work of Lee Strobel. He was an American atheist journalist who became convinced that Jesus rose again. His book is called The Case for Christ, or you can get a version called The Case for Easter too. After the service, I'll post again a link just to a 2-minute video where he talks about 4 strands of evidence for the resurrection. But just assuming for a moment that it is true, so what? Why does the resurrection really matter? What difference does it make? Well, this deserves a whole sermon series, but let me just very briefly say something to you about the significance of Jesus' resurrection. The past significance, the difference it makes in the present, and the hope it can give us for the future. So first of all, the past. The resurrection shows us that Jesus certainly was who he claimed to be, that he was the powerful Son of God whom death could not hold. It proves that the price of sin was fully paid. On the cross, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And the resurrection is God the Father's yes to Jesus, yes to his sacrifice. The resurrection shows us that sin really is defeated. Death and hell have been decisively overcome. It's true, not just that Jesus is alive, but everything he said and did, it's all true. The resurrection is the proof of it all. Even in the midst of the coronavirus, the death and resurrection should make it clear to us that God loves and cares for our world. It's true, things are in a terrible mess. We're often a mess ourselves, if we're honest. But God himself has stepped into the mess in Jesus Christ to take the mess on himself and to sort it out. Jesus didn't promise us health and wealth and ease, but he does promise us life and ultimate victory and peace. And he knows what he's talking about. He's been there. He's suffered and died and come out the other side victorious. The resurrection shows us that the past claims of Jesus are true and effective. Second, think about the present effects of the resurrection. Jesus Christ is alive today. He's not just a dead hero, but our living Lord. He is with us. We can know him personally. He is our faithful high priest, our friend in high places, who ever lives to intercede for us. He is the go-between between us and God, the mediator between sinners like us and God. In Jesus, we can always come to our loving Heavenly Father in prayer. When we pray in Jesus' name, the almighty ears of heaven are attentive to our cries. whatever trials or anxieties we or our loved ones might face, Jesus has said to us, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What a living and loving friend we have in Jesus our Lord. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can be sure that Jesus, our good shepherd, will be with us. His rod and his staff will comfort us. He has laid down his life for us, only to take it up again, and he spread the table before us. He promises us that we will dwell with him in the house of the Lord forever. Think again of the difference which Jesus made to those first disciples. He said to them, do not be afraid. Jesus said to you, do not be afraid. I'm risen. I've won. I'm with you and for you. I love you. I'll take care of you. Do not be afraid. Receive Jesus, revere him, and you can face the future, whatever it involves, with confidence. Jesus gives us peace. He turns our despair to joy. He receives our worship, and he gives us a job to do, to be his disciples and his witnesses. If we're Jesus' friends, we have the best good news in the world ever to share. Just some of the past and present effects of the resurrection. Lastly, and very briefly, the resurrection also gives us future hope. We know that we will be raised with Jesus. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. He's like that first bluebell in spring. When you see it, you know that very soon the forest floor will be full of them. Just as Jesus' body was raised up and transformed, so it is guaranteed that ours will be. The risen Jesus is now enthroned as Lord of heaven, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead, and to put the world to rights. I recommended that website, which will help you to think a bit more about the evidence for the resurrection. Let me also suggest something that says something a bit more about the significance of the resurrection. Our friend Glenn Scrivener, who leads Speak Love, based in Eastbourne, has a new website called EasternMeansHope.com. Again, I'll share the link afterwards. There you'll find the greatest story ever told in 90 seconds, an opportunity to receive a free book, something you could share with friends who might be willing to think about Easter. EasterMeansHope.com. Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's true. It's all true. And what's more, it really matters. It changes our past, our present, and our future. So let us set our hearts and minds on things above, where Christ our risen Lord reigns. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we will appear with him in glory. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be all honour and power and glory, now and forever. Amen. A very happy Easter to you.